Donald Trump is warning North Korea it will be totally destroyed if it doesn't back down from its nuclear standoff. The US president issued this stern warning during a speech with the UN General Assembly. He says if North Korea doesn't stand down, the US will come to South Korea's defense.
We will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
International relations expert from Otago University is Dr. Robert Pittman. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Chris.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission. What do you make of those comments by Trump?
I think, first of all, they're quite inflammatory. But putting that aside, I don't think they're credible. Let's be quite clear about this. Mr. Trump keeps saying the military option is on the table. But is it? If you consider the fact that the United States cannot attack North Korea's nuclear facilities without putting 25 million residents of metropolitan Seoul and possibly and at least 25,000 US citizens, military and civilian, stationed in the Yongsan garrison in the center of Seoul at risk. In other words, they'll be risked if there's any military option, whether it be conventional or nuclear bombardment, it would involve hundreds of thousands of casualties. And Mr. Trump knows that. And so you'll notice that many of the members of the Pentagon do not share the sort of cavalier threats that are being bandied about by Mr. Trump. This is actually quite dangerous because, in a sense, it's all very well making threats, but you've got to have the ability to back them up. And there's little evidence that this threat made by President Trump does have that credibility. I was struck by the fact that Stuart Patrick, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a New York think tank, said that Mr. Trump's threat to totally destroy North Korea is implausible. And I share that view for the reasons I've just gone through.
Do you think this is a dangerous game of chicken?
Well, what the problem is that, you know, by calling Mr. Kim Jong-un Rocket Man, Mr. Trump is confusing domestic traction. Let's face it, lots of people in the United States, not lots, but he has a political base, that likes to hear Mr. Trump talk in these terms. And that makes sense to a limited number of people in the United States. But internationally, such language, I think, raises the stakes unnecessarily and in a way which is not in America's interest. That sort of language does not encourage China to continue to distance itself from its ally, North Korea, which is, after all, in America's interest. Such language drives China and North Korea together, which is not really in America's interest. And the other thing to consider here is that this is just the sort of language that Kim Jong-un wants to hear, because it dignifies the North Korean leader rather than isolates him.
And it gives him more material for his propaganda war he wages on his own people, doesn't it?
Yes, and he elevates the North Korean leader. I mean, basically, this is a totally discredited and isolated regime. And, you know, such comments keep pumping by Mr. Trump elevate this North Korean regime, and they undermine efforts to internationally isolate it. And I'm not sure that Mr. Trump is thinking this thing through. I think he's looking at the North Korean situation through the prism or the lens of domestic politics, and I don't think he's quite made the adjustment that's necessary.
I've asked you this question before, Dr. Robert Pittman, but I'll ask you again. Why can't American military just be strategic and bomb all of North Korea's military bases in isolation, so there'll be no civilian casualties? Why can't they do that tomorrow?
Well, firstly, the geography of the geographical closeness and the proximity between the military capabilities of North Korea and Seoul is very close. The closest point is about 12 miles apart. And any move against North Korea would result in a huge barrage of artillery on Seoul, which would kill thousands of people. That, of course, would result in retaliation by probably crushing retaliation from South Korea, because South Korea is a much more formidable military power. But what I'm saying here is the loss of life, it would be difficult to minimize it. Possibly the best prospect, and it's not one that I would recommend, but probably the least bloody prospect, would be the penetration of some special services group by the United States and locating Kim Jong-un and eliminating him. I don't think that should be done, because you might end up with Kim Jong-un Mark II. That is to say, if a foreign force goes into North Korea and assassinates the leader of that country, it may make the situation worse. I still think the best approach is not military, but to get the Chinese on board with the United States. Remember, China actually agrees with the United States that North Korea should be denuclearized, and they are steadily moving in the direction of agreeing ever tougher sanctions. You know, let's elevate those sanctions, let's toughen those sanctions, and keep the regime isolated. The fact of the matter is China doesn't have much control over North Korea, and I think China's in the process now of moving from the old view, which was that the regime in Pyongyang was a factor of stability in the region, to the view that the Kim Jong-un regime is actually a threat to regional stability. And we want to encourage that evolution. We don't want to forestall it.
Is there no way we could send a US diplomat on behalf of, or say through China or South Korea, to meet with North Koreans? I mean, occasionally happens from a UN perspective. Why won't they sit round the table together and have a cup of tea?
Well, I think I don't rule that out. Personally, I would like to see a multilateral initiative, not just involving this problem doesn't just involve the United States and China, Chris. I mean, South Korea, Japan, even New Zealand, 70% of our trade and investment is in the Asia-Pacific region. We'd be deeply affected by any convulsions in Northeast Asia. So a whole group of countries are affected by this. I think it would be appropriate to launch some sort of multilateral initiative, but I think it has to come to some degree at the behest of the North Korean regime. But at the moment, they have been in defiance of the UN Security Council's sanctions and attempts to restrict the nuclear program of North Korea. Until North Korea believes it's got an incentive to negotiate, and that incentive will come when its regime is basically on the ropes through sanctions. It's totally dependent on China's life support system. If China chooses to cut that, and we and the United States has an interest in that occurring, then I think a lot of the belligerence of the regime may dissipate, because actually at the moment the regime sees nuclear belligerence as a way of surviving. It sees it as a legitimizing device for this repressive regime in Pyongyang. But the parameters of that sort of perspective may change if the economy is basically undermined on a massive basis, then the regime may become more conciliatory in order to even keep a place at the table in Pyongyang.
And so it goes on. Dr. Robert Patman, international relations expert at Otago University, I thank you very much for your time this morning.